the winning sound of Network Sports.
This Tuesday evening from 6:15 on Voice of Barbados and VOB 92.
All right, we got the commercial. We got it there. Of course, hello and good afternoon to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guests, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 441790. You can send a WhatsApp to 253-4679 or an email to cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guests is brought in association with the good friends at Berger Paints for lasting beauty and protection.
Looking to refresh your troll finish? Well, look no further. Berger Brushing Solution is exactly what you need. This low-odor, fast-drying paint solution is a great way to renew and repaint in any color on interior and exterior textured surfaces. Available in Coral Stone and any shade from the color library. Visit the nearest color shop or hardware store to express yourself through color. Berger Paints, for lasting beauty and protection.
All right. Well. The situation is that cricket is just around the corner. Yes, the Sri Lankans are supposed to be coming very, very soon, although I haven't seen an official release from Cricket West Indies. But we're looking forward to seeing them. There's no question that we are quite excited about that. In relation to the local cricket, still enjoying it quite a bit. I was at the park on the weekend and saw Akhil, Greenidge, the son of Alvin Greenidge, make 100. It was really good to have him do that well, and we're hoping sometime next week to speak to him. The Barbados team has in fact been selected. I note with interest that there's one change to the side. The big fast bowler, McAllister's out, and Akeem Jordan comes into the team. We hope to get a reaction from the chairman of selectors, Mr. Hendy Broom, as far as that is concerned. And on Mason and Guests, we really want to celebrate Mr. Ezra Michael Stewart. Now, he retired as the editor, sports editor of The Nation on April the 30th. Here's a gentleman who spent 36 years in the profession, would have started back in 1990, went to The Nation in 2003 and became sports editor in 2020, just around COVID. And we hope to have him on the show a little bit later on as well. But I want to say that Ezra Stewart, brilliant, excellent, superb. And in terms of content, I don't think there's another sports editor that has produced as much content as Ezra Michael Stewart. And I really want to congratulate him from near and from far. When I look at The Nation and I see the kind of sports covered, you know that there's a stamp there marked heavily as far as Mr. Ezra Stewart is concerned. And I really admire his work in a very tremendous way. And I hope that perhaps somewhere along the line, maybe The Nation could have a chat with him. I'm sure that there are other options that are available. But Ezra, you did a wonderful job at The Nation. Of course, you would have been at Kana and CMC. And certainly the performance worthy of commendation, as I said, 36 years and happily retired now. And when he retired, he was the sports editor of the Nation newspaper. Now, tomorrow, we're going to be laying to rest, Cheryl. When you look at it, it's May the 6th. Of course, Cheryl Butcher, who would have worked for Barbados Cricket Association, the wife of someone who was on the show last week, Roland Butcher, she's going to be laid to rest tomorrow. That's going to be around 12 o'clock. She's going to be buried in England, and may she rest in eternal peace. Special guest this evening on Mason and Guests, we've got the director of cricket, Mr. Miles Bascom, who kindly consented to join us. We also have Tevin Imlach, who, of course, is the captain of the Harpy Eagles. They are into the finals. We're going to be certainly talking to these gentlemen, as I said, a little bit later on. We hope to be able to touch base with our good friend, Mr. Hendy Brooms. Without any further ado, let me say a very special good evening to you, Mr. Miles Bascom. How are you, sir?
Good evening to you, Andrew. I'm quite good. Good evening, Philo, And Basil and Dr. Ford. I see Tevin on as well. Good evening, Tevin.
Hey, good evening, Miles.
Right. Okay.
Good evening.
What we want to do now, you know, the time flies very, very quickly. So we want to get into it. We hope to be able to ask you as many questions as possible. And we're going to turn, of course, to Tevin. We're not going to keep him very long because, of course, he's a busy man. Miles, we are at the playoff stage now. Of course, Barbados will be playing against Trinidad and Tobago. And we've got Guyana already in the finals. Can you give us an overall assessment of as to how the tournament has gone so far from a West Indies cricket board perspective, Miles?
Yes, Sanju, sure. I think that it's gone pretty well, all things considered. I think definitely the series in Jamaica would have kept quite a lot of people interested and intrigued, because you know that seemed to be headed one way and then and turned very dramatically in the end in the other direction. The Windward's Guyana, I was able to take in some of that myself, and that was a very keen contest as well, notwithstanding the results. And certainly Trinidad and Leewards, that was quite exciting as well. So I anticipate that the playoff round, that second and third playoff match should be very keenly contested, and I will be quite keen to see how the academy goes against Guyana as we build up to the, you know, the centerpiece, the grand final. It will be very interesting to see who gets to join Guyana in that final.
Now, I've got a question for you, of course. Dr. Ford is already with us, and Basil Butcher Jr. and Philo Wallace. My first question to you, though, I mean, well, the second, where are the games starting on a Sunday? I'm curious. Well, why Sunday?
Well, it's mostly to do with logistics and how easy the easier it is to travel to Antigua and to travel out of Antigua, based on when you have the highest volume of flights. So that's one of the considerations.
But of course, when you start on Sunday, I mean, you would love to see people come and watch cricket. Then the second day, Monday, the third day, it's Tuesday, and the game ends on the Wednesday in the week. Was any consideration given to that?
Well, ideally, you'd want to end maybe on a Sunday, but again, some decisions because it becomes very passengers, but space for bags as well. So logistics tend to sway those decisions.
So because of logistics, you have to start the game on a Sunday. I just want to just confirm this.
Yes, that was the main consideration in the start of the game. Yes.
Okay, fair enough.
That.
So the next game that's going to be played is going to be this coming Sunday.
Correct.
Okay. And that's Mother's Day.
Yes, it should be a very good opportunity to for some mothers to come and see their sons.
Why would you want to start a game on Mother's Day?
Well, I don't see Mother's Day as being a bad day to start a cricket
Okay.
game, man.
Okay, fair enough. I know of an interest that the Barbados Cricket Association, for this round of matches, it's normally Saturday, Sunday, but because Mother's Day is this coming Sunday, what they did was they wanted everybody to be off. It's a very special day. The game was Saturday, Sunday, and this third round of matches will be finishing on a Saturday, so that the guys will get an opportunity to celebrate the mothers. You think the BCA did the right thing, Mr. Bascom?
I think it was very thoughtful of the BCA.
Mm-hmm. So the answer is yes, then.
I think it was very thoughtful of the BCA.
Okay, Fredo. All right. Just before Dr. Ford comes in, and of course, Basil. Just one more before I go. Shea Hope. Was he rested? Because I know with interest he hasn't played. I'm told that he wanted to play for Pickwick, and the Cricket West Indies said, no, you can't play for Pickwick. What about Roston Chase? Didn't play in the first game. Is he being managed? And King, those three, and then after you answer, then I'm gonna go to Dr. Ford.
Yeah. So generally, the all format players, we are very sensitive of the load that we place on them. So we're working with them to manage their workload in the face of all of the cricket that is ahead of us.
Mm. So Shea Hope wanted to play in Barbados for Pickwick, and Cricket West Indies said no. Am I right on that?
Not that I'm aware, no.
Mm-hmm. All right. So why do you want to rest batsmen, though? I'm curious about that. Why would you want to rest batsmen?
He's a wicketkeeper batsman, mm-hmm. and he plays across all mm-hmm. formats.
Okay. And what about Roston Chase and King from Jamaica?
Roston Chase played in the... Well, King was injured to start. That is why he was missing. Mm-hmm. And Chase similarly had a period of rest, and then he joined the team.
Okay, fair enough. Enough for me. Dr. Ford, any questions for your good friend Miles?
Hi, good night to the panel and to listeners. Miles, just explain to us how the scouts and selectors are working mm-hmm. During the series in order to allow them to gather their data and to come to conclusions when necessary.
Well, the scouts started working from long before that. So we have been consistently getting information from them, even in the trial. Most territories had very extensive trial periods, a number of trial matches. So we have been collecting data even from those matches. And they will continue to look at the games on the streams, and those who are present in territories where games are being played will look at live matches, and then we will get into our selection discussions and then the selection of the squad.
Well, in the modern day, streams are important and very prevalent, but how do you feel about the lack of live, fans at the matches.
Mm.
The lack of fans?
Well, we're not seeing the numbers that would be as encouraging as we'd like. So how do you feel about the attendance of fans at the matches?
Well, I think they add tremendously to the atmosphere. And ideally you want full stadiums, but those are not things that we have control of necessarily. And as Andrew alluded to, we are starting on Sundays, and the majority of the days are weekdays. Mm-hmm. So we do understand that, that would pose some limitations to persons, even if they wanted to come and watch matches. So it's not ideal. You would love to see people coming out and support. I did see quite a good crowd in at the Sir Vivian Richards Stadium for a couple of the matches there. So that was certainly encouraging. And the usual patrons are usually there. But yeah, it's not ideal, as I said, but understandable.
Well, what made you choose the academy to be, the team that would play the Eagles?
Well, of course, in an ideal situation, the academy would be a part of the West Indies Championship. We have invested in these young players, And we saw that there was an opportunity for that first place team. We didn't want a case where the first place team was going 2 weeks without cricket and then heading into a final playing against a team that, you know, would have just completed a playoff match. So I think, you know, the situation was just prime to give these young players an opportunity to really show their ways, show what they've learned in their time at the academy, you know, and have that opportunity to get a first-class game under the belt.
Doc, we're not hearing you.
What about having a chance of, what about the chance for a best of the rest of the teams? I mean, you know, like maybe an all-star of what was left to really try to push Guyana in this match before the final.
Well, that comes with the assumption that the academy cannot push Guyana. I don't subscribe to. And again, all of those rests that you were mentioned are persons who would have had opportunities to play in the three rounds prior. And the academy players, most of them who will participate in this game, would not have had that opportunity to play any first-class matches this season. So, you know, in the interest of trying to give opportunity to as many players as possible, we thought that having the academy play against Guyana would be the best decision all around.
All right, okay. Doc, just hold your horses, Doc. We're going to do a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to come straight back to you. And, of course, Tevin Imlach has waited as well. So, Doc, just hold your question. Very good question as well. Very interesting response to Dr. Bascom in relation to this whole question of Mother's Day. I'll talk to you about it a little bit later on. Mason and Guest, broad association with our good friends at Berger Plates for lasting beauty and protection.
Choose performance that lasts. Choose Berger, made in the Caribbean, formulated to provide superior weather resistance in harsh tropical conditions. Guaranteed to protect against and deter fungal and algal growth to meet the needs of residential and commercial spaces. Berger transforms your spaces with a wide selection of colors in brands you know and trust, built to withstand that busy lifestyle. Virtually odorless, thousands of colors, premium performance are at your fingertips when you choose Berger. Berger Paints, for lasting beauty and protection.
All right, excellent question. Very disrespectful for mothers. How many mothers are going to be able to travel to watch their sons play? Now, I go back to you, Dr. Ford.
I was asking, the academy is based in... Where's the academy based?
Antigua, yes.
Okay, so is it just logistically easier, financially more, you know, just something that could be easily done? Is that really a good reason to do it?
Well, you're putting words in my mouth, Dr. Ford.
No, I ended it with a question. It was a question.
I gave you the reason already. Uh-huh. I told you that the academy would have been a part of the West Indies Championship were we able to have that ideal case. Mm-hmm. And as a result of the fact that we had to downsize on the tournament, they missed out. So we saw an opportunity. It did help that the academy is readily available in Antigua. But we saw an opportunity to give a group of young players some exposure at the first class level that we would have liked to have given them ideally. So the fact that the opportunity presented, you know, we took advantage of it.
Okay, well, Doc doesn't seem to be very, very convinced by your response, but we're going to move on. Basil Butchersworth, let's say good evening to Tevin Imlach, the captain of the Guyana Harpy Eagles, the best team in the last, I'd say, 10 years or so. I mean, look at the stats. They're very much in pole position to possibly retain. Hello to you, Tevin. How are you, sir?
Pleasant good evening to the listeners and the panel. Yeah, I'm doing all right. I'm pretty happy with our position. So yeah.
Right. Just before we go to Basil Butcher, who has actually supported the Barbados Pride, despite the fact that he's a Guyanese from Burmese. Where are you now? You're back in Guyana?
Yeah, we're back at home.
So when did you leave Antigua?
The day after the game, the last day.
Okay, you're flown home. What has been happening since you've gone home? You've been practicing. The team has been practicing.
No, most of the guys would have been doing their own personal training. It's really around getting guys some rest, especially the fast bowlers. You know, they need to rest and recover. Some guys have some niggles that, you know, the physio is looking at. So it's really around getting some rest and the guys getting some time with their family as well. Mm-hmm. And you know, when they have the free time, they also get some work in. So, yeah.
So when do you go back to Antigua?
We leave on Thursday.
Okay, and looking forward to play against the academy.
Yeah, definitely. They're a good team. They're known for. They've given us a bit of a challenge in the past years, so it should be a good game.
Just before we go to Philo and to Basil, your overview of the tournament so far. Happy with it? Any concerns?
No, not really. Happy with our performance as a team. You know, some stuff still for us to iron out as a batting group, but. Happy, I mean, we set out to finish on top within the three games, and we achieved that. So pretty happy with what we've achieved as a team.
If you had to meet with Miles Bascom right after Mason and Guess, are there any concerns? Is there anything that you would say to Miles, look, I believe this can happen to improve the tournament? Anything at all?
No, I would assume that is. Basically a one-off situation. Obviously, the challenges that they would have had and they came up with this version of the tournament. You know, I know that they'd probably like it to be every team playing against each other, but because of the circumstances, that's what they came up with. So, I mean, they're trying their best, I would assume. So, I wouldn't change. I wouldn't tell them how to do it. Yeah.
But would you make any suggestions?
Not really. I would hope that we go back to the each team playing against each other. That would be more cricket for the team. But again, circumstances.
Yeah. Are you happy with the bonus points? Happy with the bonus points? Can we tweak them in any way?
Yeah. No. I don't know if you could tweak them. But yeah, it's been similar to what we would have had in previous years. So we're winning cricket games and. Doing well, so I won't change it too much.
So those points are for the fast bowlers. Am I right? There are no points for spinners, right? Am I right? Is that right, Miles? Just for fast bowlers, Miles?
Yes, there are fast bowling points. Yes.
Mm-hmm. How do you determine a fast bowler? Because Kyle Mears is not.
Well, I don't know if his. International bowling record would agree with you.
So if Kyle Mears gets three or four or five wickets, Barbados, because Kyle Mears, who's a medium pacer, just as slow as you are myself, Barbados would get bowling points because of Kyle Mears. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, based on how the bowling point system is structured, they would get points. So long as he has been declared as a fast bowler he picked up wickets bowling fast.
So Shamar Springer be declared, he was declared, I'd imagine, as a fast bowler then. Shamar Springer was very slow.
Yeah, Andrew, I don't think so. Two things that we have to consider.
Yes.
When we are implementing these systems, they are intended to serve a purpose. Yeah. Ideally, you want 90 mile per hour fast bowlers, but you look at Kyle Mears, who has done a job for West Indies with the ball, and you look at Shamar Springer, who has also done a job for West Indies with the ball. These are two players whose bowling has helped to earn them selection in West Indies team, right? So they might not be the tearaway fast bowlers that you know, you are accustomed to from the heyday of West Indies cricket.
But Miles, they're not fast bowlers. Kyle Mears is not a fast bowler. Shamar Spring is not a fast bowler. They're gentle, medium-paced bowlers. Miles, talk to me.
Okay. Yeah, but I'm trying to understand what you are.
I think it's about time that I bring in Philo on this, because Philo is facing the fastest in the world. Philo, good evening to you, sir. I'm sure you'd abandon the middle of the pitch for Kyle Mears. Good evening, Philo.
Good evening, Andrew. Good evening to your many listeners. Good evening to Miles. Thanks for joining us. I'm with Tevin. Good evening to Sheila Hart, Carlos. Our condolences to Roland and the loss of his wife and burial tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I also have to attend another funeral tomorrow in St. Philip, actually.
Oh, dear.
One of my work colleagues, his cousin died. There's always death around. Andrew. And sometimes we face it and sometimes we hear it. I believe that Cricket West has got the fast bowling points, or wrong, just should be bowling points, because Kyle Mears and Springer are not fast. Mm-hmm. I would like to know what Miles considered fast bowlers, because we need to get the structure right. Well, cricket was built on fast bowling. And we have knocked that pillar down, or those pillars down, to bring some more points. Tevin Imlat is not going to object to the point system because Ghana won all their games and are top of the tree.
Mm.
And they're playing a game against the academy, which CWA must have for the academy, because you can't have the guys in Antigua just practicing and not executing their skills. The point that could have been done as well is that you could have had one player four and two player three.
Okay. Interesting.
And then you could have had the best of the best play the academy.
That's an interesting observation, Philo. Did you give consideration to that, Miles? What Philo's saying?
Funds.
We considered quite a lot of permutations, Andrew. We all agreed that this was the best based on the objectives that we were trying to meet.
Okay.
The objectives that the made the decisions, Andrew. We are now just arms, and we're trying to make sense of all of it. But my question to Maz is that the international season is around the corner. There was a report from you last time you were on this program that Azhari Joseph was given an NOC to go to Pakistan and play the PSL, and he'll be monitored. We had Otis Gibson there. Is there any reports from Otis Gibson about Azhari Joseph?
Mm-hmm.
One, how long is Otis Gibson's contract with CWI for 2026?
Mm-hmm.
And two, we're arresting all of our international players, but they're not playing red ball cricket.
Mm. Miles?
I know that.
Miles, can you take the first question? Did you make a note?
Yeah, so we asked Otis to keep an eye on Azhari, but we were also keeping track of his loads. That was the main concern about managing his loads. So we have all of that information. I think you mentioned international players being arrested and not playing 4-day. I think Shea Hope is the only person who has not featured so far. Azhari, I think, returned following the end of the first round. So Shea Hope would be the only person who has not featured so far. And of course, Shea is a professional. We work with Shea to ensure that he will be ready for the international season. And remember that what we are looking at is ensuring that we have all our players for the start of the international home series, right? And Shea Hope has a huge role to play in that. And we have no doubts that he will have everything that he needs to be prepared, when play starts come June 3rd.
How long is Otis Gibson's contract with CWA for 2026?
It's a 1 year, a 1 year contract.
Mm-hmm.
365 days.
Started on March 1, if I recall correctly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when is Otis due in the Caribbean? And when you're going to start your camps to prepare for the series against Sri Lanka? Will Otis Gibson be with the squad when the series starts in Jamaica?
Good questions. Good questions, Philo.
he will attend the camp. The preparation camp, which starts on the 21st of May.
Mm. And how long is the camp for?
The camp will run up to the 31st of June when the first batch of players head to Jamaica for the one series. Mm. And Otis will stay on for a bit longer than that to do some work with some fast bowlers.
He's doing some work. He'll be in the camp. He's doing some work with some fast bowlers. Are the fast bowlers identified that will be staying on the film in Antigua?
Mm-hmm. We have identified them internally, yes.
Okay. Can you share that information with us? Who are those fast bowlers?
We have not informed these players.
Okay.
Yet, so I prefer to go that route. But definitely we will issue a press release on all of that.
A question: what about Ravi Rampal? I mean, Gibson is in as what? But just remind me exactly of Gibson's title.
So I'm quite happy that you asked that question because it's something that I think a lot of people have, gotten confused about. So Ravi's role, Ravi is the bowling coach who is with the team.
Right.
Right. So Ravi will go on tours. He will support camps and so on as well. But Otis's role is to support camps and to work with that next line of players.
Mm.
That support that we need for players who perhaps did not make the squad or players who we've identified as having potential to play international cricket.
Mm.
And Otis's job would be to help us to sort of quantify where their ceiling is at and what work needs to go into them to get them to that level, right? So he is providing that support that we need to ensure that we have greater depth in our fast bowling stuff. So the two roles are not they are two separate roles. Let me put it.
Okay.
You've also sent out an ad. I know you also sent out an ad for a batting consultant. Has that role been filled yet? Because I'm not leaving Otis Gibson's yet.
Right.
Because you told me that you have him contracted for 365 days.
No, I told you that he has a one-year contract.
But 365 days is a year, Miles.
Yeah, but that's not how our contracts work, Philo. It doesn't mean that you have
the post for so how? Okay, so what do you have Otis Gibson as your bowler consultant doing for what duration? So it minus 365 then. Is it 100 days? 200 days.
We have with Mr. Gibson that lasts a year, and he will provide us support in all of the areas that we need him to provide. That is as much as I'm willing to share.
All right, Basil.
Good evening, Andrew. Good evening, the panel. Good evening, Miles.
Yeah.
Good evening, Kevin.
Yeah.
What first question? Just on this tournament. Did you agree with the calling off of that match between Trinidad and Leewards? I know you had nothing to do with it, but did you agree with the match officials calling off the match? Why I ask the question? Because it was conditions where our batters need to be able to try to work them way out because they're going to face these kind of things at the highest level. So were you in agreement with that decision?
Well, as usual, I try to let the people who are responsible for doing their roles do their jobs. So if the umpires and the match referee, they had to determine that the conditions became dangerous before that match would have been abandoned, and that was their determination. So I trust that they made the right decision.
Another question that was brought up to drill down a little bit with this load management. What is the methodology are you guys using? And in follow up to that, have you guys hit a kind of sweet spot with each of the individual players as to how you would load manage?
So we are using a combination of qualitative and quantitative data. So the players have a wellness app that they use to put in information, you know, just about how well they've slept, you know, how they feel generally, level of soreness, etc. And we have the Catapult pods, you know, that give us more quantitative data about distance covered, etc. And so we are using that to monitor their workloads. Mm-hmm. And for each, it's still individual.
Yes.
You know, based on, you know, career loads and that type of thing.
Yeah.
But so we are learning. We are pretty much learning how to manage each player individually, and that data, both the quantitative and qualitative, certainly helps us to do that properly.
Okay, that's why I asked about the individual. Now, to your cricket report, the 2025, one of the things for me that was glaring was I didn't hear anything mentioned about the territorial boards in terms from a territorial perspective, how they're going to partake in the development of players, because as you would know, the factory of our players is the territories, not Cricket West Indies. Can you speak to that? What plans are there in place to guide or oversight the various territories, mm-hmm. as to how all the markers that you would talk about at the West Indies level, how you want these players to be brought up through the system from age group all the way to the territories?
So what we've tried to do is to implement a system of handovers, right? So what that does is it gives the technocrats in the territorial boards an understanding of the information that we collect. We pass that information down to them. We pass player programming information down to them. And so they have an understanding of exactly how we treat with load management, how we treat with skill development. And what we expect is for that to sort of percolate further down. We do the same thing at the under 19 level. So when the under 19 players go back to their territories, they go back with a program. And so we expect that those programs or that way of doing things would percolate down to the other players. And we are very accessible. A lot of the coaches would reach out and get information from us. And we work towards
froze.
Yeah, Miles is freezing. Miles, you with us again?
He's pissed.
Are you froze for a second there, Miles?
Yes, still here.
I just got two quick ones, Andrew. And you could quickly. One, what are the 18 plans for the upcoming year? And second, what are their conditioning standards for our players, both women and men, across the region, mm-hmm. from the territorial all to the international team? Because from the women perspective, it's very disappointing to watch the West Indies women's team, mm-hmm. with a lot of these young women in, mm-hmm. the conditions that they are, and the expectations for them to compete against the best teams in the world. So can you answer those two questions? Thank you.
Yeah, so in terms of 18 plans, we expect to host England A in November, mm-hmm. in a white ball A-team series. And the academy, even though they're not a team, it's still developmental in that sense. They will tour Sri Lanka as part of the reciprocal bilateral arrangement. Sri Lanka Academy came to us last year. So that covers those sort of senior developmental tours. And in terms of conditioning standard, we do have set standards. We do have a strength and conditioning policy that speaks to meeting the players, mm-hmm. where they are and working to get them better incrementally. Mm-hmm. So that is the way we have chosen to go about it, by mm-hmm. supporting the players, providing them with programs. One of the challenges has been, you know, getting them that support in their territories. The official SNC and physio contracted by CWI assigned to territories are generally assigned to the franchise. Though they are charged with supporting the senior females and any other senior female player or under 19 West Indies player on the pathway, it is not always as easy a task to get them close enough to these players to get in that sort of supervised programming. So that has been one of the challenges that we have had to work through. Late last year we had an 8-week camp in which we were able to get, you know, quite
Miles is taking all the time. Miles
is
we do have a period coming up, and that we're doing not.
This is the first time this ever happened, Miles. I don't know Miles, where are you? Are you at home, Miles? Because where are you, Miles? I mean, you're breaking up all the time. You get big bucks from Cricket West Indies. I expect that your connection will be better, Miles. Come on, what's going on there? Are you at home, Miles?
Andrew, I got a question. Yes. Tevin, you there?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
I noticed that Mr. Thorn is out injured. Can you speak to Mr. Thorn's injury?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. He picked it up. He had some issues in the first game with a bit of tightness, some cramp and stuff. I think it kind of went from bad to worse. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's the same leg he's kind of suffering from.
I see. And any changes to your side going to back to Antigua on Thursday?
Yeah. Isaiah Thorn is out. Shamar Joseph is out for a bit. He'll probably be back for the finals, but he's dealing with some stuff at the moment. And we have young Jonathan Van Lang, and Thaddeus Lovell, who would have played last year, coming into the squad.
Okay, all right, beautiful. So you expect Thorn to be out for a little while?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, the PC would have to speak to that, but you know, it's something that has been troubling him, so I don't know how long it would take.
All right.
Is it because of lack of cricket?
Ooh!
I really want
to be able to say it's muscle memory, is not functional.
I like that one, fellow.
that could be one of the reasons as well. He's suffering from tightness, because all we are hearing is that we are resting players downtime. Shamar Joseph now is dealing with an issue that is more downtime, hoping to come back for the finals. We have Sri Lanka at our doorsteps. But yet our main players are given downtime. Maybe should be loaded up for the series, because we're playing 6 matches in Jamaica against Sri Lanka. Then they come down to Antigua for 2 test matches. So it's a lot of cricket, and the guys' muscles need to work into that cricket. If not, they're going to find themselves struggling. All the strength and conditioning training is going to condition them. And the actual condition is going to come through playing time, not training time.
Yeah, that's
you need to remind me where Philo has all of this science and medicine knowledge
to work into that cricket. If not, they're going to find themselves struggling. All the strength and conditioning training is going to condition them. And the actual condition is going to come through playing time, not training time.
Yeah, that Philo,
you need to remind me where Philo has all of this science and medicine knowledge.
But you are the one with the science and medicine, and that's what I'm saying.
And the data too, Miles is data driven.
Yeah, but I drive. I drive an SD drive. I am driven. I am driven.
Right.
I want to see performances. I want to see. we saw Shan DePaul come back into his home with surprise and showing a little combativeness in his batting. What is the transformation that you expect now going into these crucial games? And how serious are you going to take this four-day game? Is it a first-class game against the Academy?
Mm.
How serious are you going to take that game and the reemergence of Moti to come out on top?
Good question.
Yes, we're definitely going to take it serious. Again, the Academy is a first-class game for us of all, so, you know, there's stuff to play for in terms of guys' records and stuff like that. Those are stuff that people, you know, the guys pay attention to. So I can tell you that they won't, you know, just turn up and be relaxed and just treat as any game. We'll have to be smart about how we approach that game in terms of keeping the finals in mind. You obviously want your best team, you want everybody fit and ready for that game. So there'll be a bit of, you know, management.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the fast bowlers in particular. But yeah, the guys are ready to go. We do have some stuff to iron out with our batting. But, you know, some of the guys are coming into their own. And that Academy game, I think we give the batters a lot of confidence once they do well, you know, going into that game.
And where's that game being played?
ERG. Antigua Recreation Ground.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We've had three other wicketkeeper batsmen make sizable scores during the series, and you haven't produced your best yet. How are you feeling about your form, and what would you like to see from yourself in the remaining two matches?
Yeah, a little bit disappointed with my returns personally, but I felt good at the crease. Felt like most of the dismissals were more error in judgment. But, you know, I felt good at the crease, and I feel like a big score or some big scores are around the corner, confident. And, you know, just hopefully, you know, it can show and I can go out and add value to the team with the bat as well as the gloves. So, yeah, just looking forward to the games and, you know, hopefully my performance can speak for itself.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Basil? Anything from...
All I would say to Tevin, there are folks who calling for your head already. I've had some strident debates.
Oh my golly.
Oh yes, they're already calling for the man head in the test team. And I had to say, look, the guy's played six games. At least give the guy a minimum of 10.
Right.
And if he can't show us something there, then we could talk about that. But I don't get into this thing.
Yeah, it's too short, huh? You
know, I mean, we some these days some of and might I say these are Guyanese. These weren't like from other parts.
Oh my golly! Oh my golly!
They were
Guyanese. Tevin, just before you go, who are your fast bowlers that you would have given to Cricket West Indies in relation to getting bowling points? I just want to write them down because on the show last week or week before, my good friend Ryan Hines said that he gave Cricket West Indies people like Mears and Springer. Who are your fast bowlers that you would have given to Cricket West Indies? Just remind me.
Yeah, for the start of the tournament, it would have been Isaiah Thorne,
mm-hmm.
Niles Smith, Kimo Paul. Shamar Joseph came in after the second game. Well, mm-hmm. after the first game. And yeah, we had a few medium paces. I know you're not too happy with it, but you know, guys that possibly would have bowled Anderson, Kevin Anderson, he has a 5-wicket haul at the regional level. So mm-hmm. if we had decided to look at him and mm-hmm. give him a chance to bowl in that 3-match series, then you know, we mm-hmm. possibly could have gotten some points from that. So.
Final question for me before you go. Would you love to have seen maybe spinners, a particular leg spinner, you know, maybe get the team get some bonus points for a leg spinner to encourage the leg spinner?
Yeah, I mean, if it's something that CWA is looking at and they want to improve on, you know, probably looking for some leg spinners and they want to, you know, go that route, you know, nothing's wrong with it. We personally don't really have a whole lot of leg spinners in our team. We have one young kid, but he's more known for his batting, young Zainal Ramsamy. You can give some to the left hand spinners, we'll take it.
Oh, yes, of course. And you get a lot of bonus points, too, as well.
We got too many, though.
Yes, yes, yeah. Okay. All right, well, I want to thank you for coming and talking to us. Always a pleasure to have you on Mason and Guest, and enjoy the rest of your evening, sir.
Yeah, pleasant good evening to everyone.
All right.
Yeah, always a pleasure for me.
I got a quick question.
I just want to say something on the bonus points for fast bowlers.
Yeah, right? please.
Now, we have to remember the genesis of these sort of things. So we want to encourage the types of fast bowlers that you would like to see, the tearaway quicks, right? But in the absence of a speed gun, right, in order for us to implement it the way that you would like to see it implemented, we would have to say for deliveries above 84 miles per hour.
Okay.
Right? Anything other than that will be a strict eye test with someone trying to decide who is fast enough to make the cut. Right? And probably for many of the persons who you have identified, it might be easy to cut some of those out, you know. But what happens to the people who are on the borderline? So it's a case where, in order to encourage the people who the tearaway quicks that you would like to see, yes, some of these medium pacers also have the opportunity to own their team fast bowling points. But remember, it's not an automatic. They don't just bowl and get the points. They have to get wickets, right? Now, the reason why it has not been done for spinners is that we know that spinners are going to get in their overs. Spinners are going to bowl, you know, a lot of the overs, especially where the wickets become, when the wickets are a little bit flatter and more friendly to batsmen. Spinners are going to get in a lot of overs. So the idea behind the fast bowling points was to ensure that, you know, captains who are vigilant, you know, will always keep giving these fast bowlers opportunity to come back for second and third and fourth spells, because there is that incentive that is available to them.
All right. We're going to pause for business calls. When we come back, Ezra Michael Stewart has joined us. Good to have him on Mason and Guest. The lines are open, 441-790. Some interesting questions will be coming your way pretty soon again. Miles Bascom, always good to have you on Mason and Guest. Mason and Guest, brought in association with our good friends at Berger Paints for lasting beauty and protection.
Looking to refresh your trowel finish? Well, look no further. Berger Brushing Solution is exactly what you need. This low-odor, fast-drying paint solution is a great way to renew and repaint in any color on interior and exterior textured surfaces. Available in coral stone and any shade from the color library. Visit the nearest color shop or hardware store to express yourself through color. Berger Paints, for lasting beauty and protection.
All right, let's go come back to you, Miles. And just before we do that, it's my distinct pleasure to welcome a retired sports editor, Mr. Ezra Michael Stewart. Hello, Ezra, how are you?
Not bad at all, Andrew. I'm doing pretty well. Just like to say good afternoon to everyone, all the listeners and the fellow commentators on the program.
Are you enjoying your retirement, Ezra?
Oh, very much so. Very much so. I've been, it's only into 1 week now, but I'm starting to get accustomed to not going into the office. Actually, here tonight, it feels like an office because it is probably the first time I am on Zoom since the days of COVID.
Oh, really? Well, Dr. Ford told me that you missed the job badly.
No, not really at all, because I was looking forward to it. It was something that was inevitable. So you had to put your mind to the fact that that day will come when you will no longer be in that position. But I'm still a young man, so to speak. So you never know what can happen in the future. I will have a break now. After about 36 years as a sports journalist, and then I will see if there is any other thing that I can contribute to. But life must go on.
Yeah, but I think you should talk to Cricket West Indies, because they need a boost in relation to what's happening. I'm very disappointed. I must admit, Miles, I'm very, very disappointed with the lack of work of the people that you employ. I mean, they're so inexperienced, and it's not good. It's not good at all. So, Ezra, I think you've got an opportunity there. They miss so many things. So many things they miss. They even miss important birthdays and milestones. The Senate releases very, very late. I'm sure they got to do better than that. Let's come back to you, of course, Miles. Ken Crafton, is he still with Cricket West Indies? Because we had bad pitches in Antigua. Was he in Antigua, Ken Crafton?
Yes, he's still with us on contract, but no, he was not in Antigua.
Why not?
Well, we have local expertise. We have Travis Ferris, who is quite good, and he is the curator at CCG. So we do not need Kent here necessarily.
Oh, I see. Well, I would think you should have Ken Crafton there, though. I mean, Miles, I mean, is he contracted to West Indies? What, his contract is a year or two, Ken? Miles?
I can't remember the exact, the specifics of his contract, but I can tell you for a fact that he is contracted at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
But as I mentioned, we have Travis Ferris, who is the curator at CCG. And, you know, very capable. He is one of the persons who have gone around and performed a similar role as Kent in various territories. So we have the expertise here. We did not need necessarily.
I think you got to be careful with that word expertise. You know, Miles is used so loosely.
If you looked at that last game at CCG between Guyana and Windward, I'm sure one of the things that you must admit that surface was quite good all the way to day four. I know Basil watched every ball, and I'm sure that he can bear me out.
yes. Andrew, I got a quick question for Miles.
Sure.
Because I listened to Miles talking on an interview this past weekend, and he said that the question was asked about bowlers of the past era versus these guys today. And Miles said something in regards to the three formats. But I think, Miles, if you go and look at the data, since you're a data man, you will see those guys are the great fast bowler of the yesterday year bowl a whole lot more than these guys today.
Miles?
I look at Andy Roberts' record, for example. Andy Roberts has bowled almost nearly double the amount of balls to Alzari Joseph, and they played about the same amount of test innings. Right? And so I think the load managing is a very dicey thing, as Philo raised, because sometimes the rest could lead to injury, because I've heard NBA guys speak to this, because you rest and you load manage, and you're not putting your body through the challenges, and then you go out there in the game and you get injured. So that's the reason why I asked you about the sweet spot. And I would hope that there would be some experiential analysis speaking to some of these great fast bowlers of yesterday year, some of the things they would have done to get themselves prepared.
Yeah, certainly. You know, we definitely have the privilege of Andy's presence, and you know, he would always speak to his running and that program of running that he did that helped him, you know, to helped with his longevity on the park. And I want to also make the point that when a player is away from matches, it does not mean that they are not doing anything.
Oh, right? Of course
because
not.
Their loads are built up through training, and they also have strength and conditioning work to do.
Yes.
Right? So I don't want us to have the idea that
they have their feet
from matches means that they are, you know, somewhere on a beach, you know, drinking a daiquiri.
Right.
So we have a very experienced science and medicine team. As I mentioned, we have qualitative data, we have quantitative data. So the decisions are being made on data, right? And they are being made by the requisite expertise, right? So I just want you to rest assured that, you know, it's not a case where we do not want to see a Shea Hope in our regional tournament. We would love to see him in a regional tournament. When we look at what we have coming up, right? We have cricket starting in June, and then leading up to matches in June, we have a camp starting on the 24th, right? Mm. And then once cricket starts, it's non-stop cricket all the way through about November, right? So we have to consider what has gone and what is upcoming in terms of managing these loads.
Okay, for 44, just a minute, just hold your horses. 441790 is the call number. You can give us a call and participate. Yes, Basil.
I just want to wish, I don't know if you noticed, Andrew, Ezra is my relative too.
Oh, really?
Yes. Ezra's my cousin also. I want to wish Ezra all the best on his retirement. And when we come to Barbados again, I want him to come on the sidelines to egg on his youngsters when we're going to put it on at them.
Oh, Ezra, Ezra, your brother's looking forward to that Barbados visit. Ezra?
Yeah, my good old cousin, Basil Butcher Jr. Remember his father, Basil Butcher, the legendary West Indies cricketer. He had his roots right there in East Point, St. Philip.
That's right.
Right.
My grandfather is from there.
Yeah, so you know, there's a lot of connection between us, along with Roland Butcher as well.
That's right.
Of the family. You know, his grandmother was a steward as well. But, Andrew, I listening to the program and listening to Miles, I am really, truly amazed and I'm happy about what has transpired in West Indies cricket this year. This format that we have, I'm well aware that Cricket West Indies might not be in the financial position that they should be in. But there's no way that our cricket in the region should be reduced to this farce that we are currently experiencing, where teams are playing each other three times. You know, you get tired and fed up of playing a soft opposition, or you want to try something else. And regardless of what difficulties Cricket West Indies going through, I don't think that they have gotten it right. And I think the quicker we in this nonsense, the better. And I would like to ask Miles Bascom, you know, whether or not any consideration was given to asking the governments of the respective territories for financial assistance so that we can play the cricket the way that we are accustomed to it and the way it should be played if we are seriously about trying to prepare our cricketers for test cricket. You know, if they ask governments in the respective territories, because to not have cricket in a number of territories while cricket is being played in other countries and the pitches are not good. You already had a case where a match had to be abandoned. And you don't want that, because he's talking about the expertise of a groundsman at the Coalish Cricket Ground. But what is happening down at the Sir Vivian Richards Stadium? You get me? You know, you had 3 days in between and they were unsure whether or not to prepare the pitch or use a different pitch. Whatever, you cannot have this. And then to hear that Ken Crafton is available but not being utilized, to me that you need to have your best people. If Antigua is going to be the hub with so many matches slated there, unnecessary in my view, you know, and you need to have your best grounds creators in the region there to ensure the pitches which matter most, you know, are well prepared. So I would like to ask him, starting off, because I have a couple of questions, other questions.
Sure.
Whether or not any consideration was given to asking governments to assist.
Miles.
Well, I can't speak to any specific requests relating to the West Indies Championship, any specific requests to governments relating to funding the West Indies Championship. But I don't think it's any secret that CWI has been you know, asking for support from government for some time now. But no, there hasn't been any specific request regarding the Western to government.
Yeah, well, that is a sharp comment on behalf of Cricket West Indies, because surely if they had outlined their situation to governments, I'm sure that some of them would want to assist us. You know, cricket is what really brings the Caribbean together, you know, and I'm sure, and that brings me to the next question about what is going to happen to next year, concerning that we are hearing reports that Cricket West Indies could be facing a financial deficit in the excess of $20 million. What is going to happen? Are we going to have this same thing again next year? That you will be.
Well, I can't speak to next year. Of course, we have to look at where we are financially and make the determination when we have all of that information. So I can't speak to next year, but I can tell you that, you know, we will try our very best to ensure that, you know, we have a tournament that gives us the best opportunity, whichever conditions that we have to face financially, that we can prepare our teams to play international cricket.
Miles, just hold on, Ezra. There's a caller here. Let's try and get this call in. 441790. We've been waiting for quite a long time. Hello, welcome. Missing a guest. Hello, welcome.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on Mason and Guest.
Yes. This is the first.
Talk to us.
This is the first time that. Hello.
Yeah, call. I think you're listening to your radio.
Okay. This is the first time that I listened to. That's they're going to call in, and I enjoy listening to Boston. Talking about the bowling, the fast bowling points and things.
Yeah,
I enjoy what you said. So I am tired. I'm tired of Mason and Dr. Brown talking to him.
Dr. Brown,
I enjoy Dr. Brown here. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but Bascom is giving points to people who are very slow. Bascom is not giving points to fast bowlers. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Yes, good evening, Andrew.
Yeah, good evening.
And good evening to your panel. So, Andrew, did all the boards were aware that this team was the Guyana who won the tournament would have been playing this side as a practice game, or did something that come up unknown to the others?
No, I think Cricket West Indies would have announced that that they would have the team that finished on top play against the academy.
I was a little concerned about that. I thought it was a last minute thing that they pushed in there.
Just round off on that though. I think what we could ask Miles, will there be fast bowling points in the playoff games, Miles?
No, I don't.
Miles, would there be fast bowling points in the playoff game?
Yeah, the point system continues as is.
So the answer is yes.
Yeah, yes. All right. Okay. But Andrew, in a situation like that, where you having, you're talking about the fast bowlers, but most of the spinners seem to be getting the wickets.
Yeah.
So I don't understand the thing about the fast bowlers. I think until though, Andrew, that their West Indies cricket is concerned, that if you look at Australia and England, the people who are on the top of the cricket, who administer the cricket, are top cricket players of the past. And I think this is one of the things that are lacking down here in the Caribbean. Two, Gordon and all these guys used to play cricket in England and come home and play in the Division One cricket. Never had any rest and always match fit. And then, I mean, it's unfair to the guys that they can't play, because I'm sure that Shea and those guys would like to get some practice in any local game. Mm-hmm. You know, it's unfair to those guys not that they can't play the domestic team. But I wish the Barbados team all the best in the semifinals. Hope they will be able to go through to the finals and at least beat Ghana. Mm-hmm. You know, for this type of tournament. I hope that next year they will get it sorted out, that everybody will be playing mm-hmm. and playing each other instead of this situation.
All right, thanks.
Anyhow, Andrew, to you and the guys, have a good evening.
All right, let's try and get another call. And thanks. Good evening to you as well. Can we take another call, Ken? Hello, welcome, Mason and guest.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Mason. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing? Strikers Tenetry, my favorite caller.
Now, today a friend of mine called me and asked me about a Jason Holdercat. I tell them that I didn't know about the Jason Holdercat.
Mm.
So I told him I don't really watch that cricket. So I don't know. So you could give him your thoughts on it?
No, I mean, there was some controversy as to whether the catch was taken or not. I know where you're going with this Jason Holder thing. I hope that Miles Bascom tells Darren Sammy to pick him.
That you say what? I didn't get you clearly there, Mr. Mason.
No, I said there was some controversy about a catch that they took in the IPL, but some people were saying that it wasn't clean, some people were saying so there was a controversy about it. But then I went on cheekily to say that I hope that given his performance that your very, very good friend, Mr. Miles Bascom, may ask Darren Sammy to select him.
Well, you can do that job yourself. You hand him up the positions so you could get it back for him. You don't bother put it by Miles Bascom, Mr. Mason.
Okay.
You got more fear than him. You all
right.
It.
All right.
So you can, now that you've said that, I can say. But we were speaking earlier about the government putting in money into the cricket, now that it's on its deathbed.
Mm.
But remember that the government said they was going to put in money since 1982. It seems the only boy that knows that is me, Mr. Mason.
Mm.
And I know you know that too, but you yeah,
oh yes. There's a lack of support generally.
But you can get governments need some money.
They talk a lot. They talk a lot, but cricket West Indies need them.
They need it badly now.
Mm.
So make certain that they give them some that we can have the normal tournament.
Have you spoken to our prime minister?
Have promised to give them a league.
Have you spoken to our prime minister?
Well, I leave that up to you.
To me,
you are her bosom too, so
really?
You will be better than me.
Mm. Well, I thought it was Dr. Ford and Philo Wallace. I didn't know that I was a member of any party.
All it means is all trail when I tell the one you want, but it's all trail with them.
Oh my golly! No, I don't. I'm not a supporter of any political party. I've never been.
Well, you can speak for yourself, then. No problem.
I'm not a BLP. No BLP. If you do well, I praise you. If you do foolishness, I criticize you. I've always been like that. Thanks for your contribution. Can we sneak another call in? It's 7:36 yes. In the country. Hello, welcome, Mason and guest.
Hello.
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 Yeah. Hi. Good evening. You're live. Yeah.
Hello.
Yes. Good evening.
Yes, Andrew.
Yes.
Sorry here, man. Sorry here.
Yeah, I say.
The cricket in the West Indies is very poor. The cricket is very poor. In order to get support, you have to have a product. And the product is poor. Nobody is going to support a poor product. I watch the cricket. I watch those matches. And they remind me of St. Silas A.Y.P.A. playing Resident Holiness Church.
Oh my God.
Enough drop catches, bad bowling, bad feeling, bad field placing. I mean, the cricket has gone to the lowest standard. The cricket is not worth watching.
Mm.
The cricket is not worth watching. The cricket is too poor. The standard of cricket is too poor. I saw one bowler who looks like a fellow who could play test cricket in the two matches that Barbados played against Jamaica. And that was Mealy. He was the only person who bowled like he could become a test bowler.
Mm.
All the bowling was poor. Wall down with legs. So, for people who know cricket, you cannot support this present product of West Indies cricket. It is too poor. It needs to improve. And all this talk and this fancy talk about rest. Shea Hope should be playing in the tournament. A captain that's Bill Houses. What West want? Come and play the cricket and improve the cricket. Mm. Then you can come down and expect he can do wonders when come. You have to play cricket. Then Jamaica have Campbell as the best batsman. You will know the side in the good. Campbell takes 50 matches to make a test 100.
Mm-hmm.
Can't be no good.
Mm.
And we are not looking at the quite the choice sense of the word. We are always blasting over things. You have to work hard and be consistent to become a good sportsman in anything that you do. Mm. West walk. Come and play cricket.
Say on another note, though. Just hold on a minute, Anfilo. On another note, in terms of, I'm going to just take you quickly because I know time is tight. Towards semi-professional league in Barbados, you were supposed
nonsense,
to be on.
Nonsense.
You feel it's foolishness.
It is the biggest piece of foolishness since both the league children out to Israel, out to Egypt.
Oh, there.
It is nonsense.
Mm.
It is nonsense. What professional semi want? The people that can't even play a forward properly? Huh?
Mm.
So no. It's foolishness. Direct the money to the clubs, build up the clubs, build up the structure, and get and produce proper cricketers. What give a cricketer? You can't do it. Spend $100 for the sand, even to play a great. It's foolishness.
Mm.
It is foolishness. Put the money into the clubs and ask for reports and get a structured report.
Mm-hmm.
For how they improve the club, what they do towards improving the clubs. All the clubs are struggling. All the clubs are struggling. Are you talking about giving poor cricketers $100? It's foolishness.
Mm.
But you see, the approaches are bad. How can you play a proper cricket and play that nonsense you play? You play one thing, three tongues and things. Anywhere in the world you have ever seen that, you expect to produce a world-class cricketer with that nonsense?
I agree with you, Si. Yes.
Man, we can be foolish, man.
Yeah.
Nonsense.
I think Philo has a question for you. Philo, you have a question for Si Nurse? Philo.
Yeah, Mr. Nurse, good evening. I'm happy that you came onto this program because people believe that cricket is a cricketer is found on stats. A carpenter is only a good carpenter to build a house. A mechanic is only a good mechanic to fix his cars.
Yes.
A cricketer is only good if he plays a lot of cricket. Stats will only give you a certain level. And I don't understand why we've gone so heavy on stats and refuse to allow our cricketers to play. We want people to watch cricket, but the stars don't play.
No. Well, you expect somebody to...
You only watch the moon when it is full because it's bright.
Mm.
Nobody's going to watch cricket if the so-called best Indies players do not play. And CWI needs to understand that.
Ooh.
We have 6 matches against Sri Lanka up in Jamaica. 6 matches. Shea Hope doesn't have to play all 6.
He has to play.
We have to get him to play for Barbados. He just played a test series. And he's back home in Barbados. And we're telling him, chill out and get ready for white ball series. And then we have 2 test matches.
White ball series what?
Mm.
These fellas watch people that are good. These watch people that are good and try to follow people that are good and great. We're not doing the things that the paying fellas that are good and great did.
Right.
You understand what I mean? Mm. Nonsense, man.
All right.
But the whole cricket in a mess.
It is a cricket in a mess.
Ian Barbell, for the side, you said fellas is an elite cricketer. He can't play forward properly.
Oh, dear.
I watch the cricket extremely. Barbados cricket at the moment is the lowest form in the 60 years that I've been around cricket. In the 60 years that I've been around cricket, the cricket playing on Saturday is the worst cricket I've seen in 60 years.
Oh, dear.
Are you talking about giving somebody pay people on Saturdays? But if Barbados will produce a good cricketer, the West Indies can't produce a good cricketer.
Mm.
It's foolishness. Mm. I made the point. The Windward Islands, I watched Ambrose play a test cricket and mash down the stump twice and then play again.
Yeah.
You understand? The cricket is poor and almost Bascom trying to put paper pump, gloss it over. Mm. Fierce facts, fellas, we're at the bottom. Let us rebuild and come back with a proper product. You cannot progress unless you have a good product. As simple as that. So all they say, I saw one bowler that looked good, and that was mainly you fell here from Barbies, but ball down the leg, so you also over the batsman head. Now I'm going to pull thing. Mainly is the only fella that looked like he would make test cricket. In those two matches that I saw a bowl. Batting poor. Fellas getting dropped 3 tons in 20 runs. And also up for day, I fell a bit at a level. Nonsense, man. Anyway, Andrew, I won't hold up.
All right, thanks very much indeed. Time is tight. No, Ezra's got a couple of questions. Quick question for you, Miles. Are we going to have a Super 50 this year? I'm hearing not.
We will definitely have a Super 50. Whether we have it this coming year or the next year, we are still working through that.
Can you give me more, Miles? You didn't say a lot there. Come on,
so we're definitely having a Super 50, whether we have it in this calendar year or all.
When you looking at having it?
Yeah. It depends. So there are a couple of things that we are considering. We potentially need to play a qualifying tournament for Pan Am Games. As I mentioned, we have the England A-team series in November. So that window is becoming a little bit crunched, depending on when we need to give notice for when we need to provide those teams for the Pan Am Games. We may have to have that qualifying tournament this year, in which case Super 50 might be deferred until
So can I say that it's highly unlikely that the Super 50 will be played this year?
No, you can't say that.
But based on what you're saying, so if you're going to have it this year, what month are you likely to have it in then?
We are still working through it.
Okay, now let's move on. Four-day championships, quickly before Ezra comes in. Can you tell us the structure in terms of payment? If Barbados wins this, what would they get? The structure of payment.
I can't remember the specifics. At this point, but I can definitely send it to you. I don't want to guess.
Do you know how much money the winner will get? You must know that, Miles, at least.
I can find it. I don't know whether or not I'll find it in time for before your show ends, but I can definitely send it to you.
I'm getting something here. We don't need a qualifying tournament for Pan Am. The Super 50 winner from 2025 can go to Pan Am. Is that correct, Miles? Do you want me to repeat what was sent to me? We don't need a qualifying tournament for Pan Am. The Super 50 winner from 2025 can go to Pan Am. Is that true or not?
The Pan Am Games require individual territories to play as, require sovereign nations to participate.
So
the Super 50 tournament is not ideal because sovereign nations do not participate in the Super 50.
All right. Time is tight.
So why we need something for the Bolivarian Games, based on Super 50, ideally you want to give every sovereign nation the opportunity to qualify.
Ezra, a question for Miles. Time is tight. We got another 15 minutes left. Ezra.
Yeah, I was hearing all along that you were going to get US $250,000 for winning the tournament. I don't understand why Miles is right there adding up in terms of that one.
Miles?
That is, you know, is $250,000 as winners and the runners, first runner-up will get $100,000 US. I have that figure,
Miles,
and that's what we have been going with all along.
Miles, yeah, when we that is not accurate. When we amended the format, that 250 and 100 would only be for the winner and the runner up. So we amended the format to ensure that every team, we amended the prize money payout to ensure that every team that won their bilateral series would participate in prize money. right? So the total payout would still be a total of $350,000. That would be spread across the three teams that made it to the playoff, the playoff round.
Ezra?
So that's why I don't have the specific numbers, but I can tell you that that is definitely the format. So it ensures that every team that won the bilateral series participates in prize money.
Andrew, can I ask something
very quickly? Yeah, quickly.
Miles, every year there's a Sir Garfield tournament in Barbados.
Yeah.
I know, especially with this situation, the last couple of years, it has always clashed with the U19. And from a Barbados perspective, a lot of good young Barbados players were unable to participate because they had to go to under-19 duty representing their country.
Right.
Could this under-19 be scheduled a little later to afford these guys to play, as well as other regional teams, other guys coming from other regions, to come to the Sir Garfield Sobers tournament to play? And that would run into the under-19. So it give around the region our youngsters more opportunities to play at that level.
Good question. Miles.
Generally, I think this has been the case for a long time. I remember as a youngster myself playing a bit of the Sagari Sobers tournament and you know, to leave to attend the regional under-19 tournament. So this is not this is not a new new phenomenon by any means. The under-19 tournament is generally scheduled in that window, especially now that we have under-19 men and women. It's a little bit trickier in terms of adjusting that schedule. Of course, you know, we have to play it in that summer window when you know it impacts school lease, right? So perhaps with some collaboration, we might be able to make some amendments. But as I said, this is not a new problem. This has been the case even, you know, when I was playing as a youngster.
Okay, we got to take a commercial break. Hold on just a minute. Let's take a commercial break, gentlemen. I know things are very tight. 434-1790 is the call number. We got two commercials to get in before we end. We just got another 10 minutes left in the show. Mason and guests, bro in association with the good friends at Berger Paints for lasting beauty and protection.
Choose performance that lasts. Choose Berger. Made in the Caribbean. Formulated to provide superior weather resistance in harsh tropical conditions. Guaranteed to protect against and deter fungal and algal growth. To meet the needs of residential and commercial spaces. Berger transforms your spaces with a wide selection of colors in brands you know and trust. Built to withstand that busy lifestyle. Virtually odorless, thousands of colors, premium performance are at your fingertips when you choose Berger. Berger Paints, for lasting beauty and protection.
All right, Jim, we got 10 minutes left. Let's get the questions very tight so we can get as many answers in, hopefully, from our good friend Miles. Was it you, Doc, that was asking the question? Yeah, yep. No, it wasn't Doc.
I was trying to ask. I have a load of questions that I could ask. On that same under-19, I recognize that the under-19 and the under-15s are being played in the same territories every year. Is this really fair? Has any consideration been given to taking these youth tournaments to other territories? I can't recall since 2012 the under-19 tournament being played in Barbados, and the last time the under-15 tournament was played here in Barbados, Jeff Bethel was playing in a site led by Neymar Boland. So you understand how long ago that is. What was the rationale there in terms of staging these tournaments in respective countries?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's fair to say that it has been played in the same place. The under-19 tournament played in St. Kitts recently. It played in St. Vincent before that. It will be played in Antigua this year. The under-15 tournament, I think, has had two or so years running in Antigua. But again, in Antigua, of course, we have the CCG facility. We have housing arrangements that help us to keep costs down. So those are probably the factors that make Antigua, a likely host. It's a place where we can manage the cost of the tournaments best. So that will be specifically why, you know, Antigua has been selected the last year or two.
Miles, I don't want to be crossing you, but I'm sure that the other countries will have those same facilities. We have, like Basil alluded to earlier, the Cigar Free Sobers tournament is played in Barbados annually, and their cost as well. And I'm sure that in other territories, they could probably have the same housing situation. So I don't buy that at all.
But no. Ezra, if I remember well, I don't know if things have changed since I played, but as I recall, the teams participating in Cigar Free Sobers are responsible for their own accommodation. I know as a youngster, I camped at Foundation School one time, and
LSD. Yeah, the best school in Barbados.
Right, so I know that, I don't know if things has changed since then, but I know that, you know, the accommodation has been the responsibility of the touring team.
Mm-hmm. Miles, we just got another couple of minutes. What if it became of this arrangement? We keep talking about money, but whatever became of this arrangement between West Indies and Cage? Have you gotten any money from Cage? You remember Andrew, that, Basil?
You're asking the wrong person for that.
Andrew,
specific financial information. What I can tell you is that arrangement is still in place, and it was contingent on Cage obtaining license in various territories, which I don't think has
happened.
Has
materialized as they had hoped. But I know that the arrangement is still in place.
But Miles, on the same thing what Ezra asked about, and yes, the Sir Garfield, everybody got to find their own accommodations. But why is Cricket West Indies, particularly these youth tournaments, why isn't Cricket West Indies not trying to seek out to the government for assistance for these youngsters? You know, they're not adults, so I mean the government should be playing a role into defraying some of these costs that are like an albatross around Cricket West Indies' neck these days.
Miles, you just had a change, of government in St. Vincent, and you're a big supporter of the government there, so I believe that you could speak to Dr. Friday. Miles?
I mean, I think it's the same question. I mean, Ezra asks in relation to the West Indies Championship, you know, Basil is asking in relation to the youth tournaments. And I think generally, you know, I think we all recognize that, you know, CWI has been requesting support. We need support in many areas, you know. So generally, I think the ask has been for support. And then, you know, we will direct that support to wherever we need it most.
A quick question for you, Miles. Time is tight. Wayne Lewis on the show last week said that the prize money hasn't changed. Did he not tell you that?
Well, it hasn't changed. As I said, the quantum remains the same in terms of, you know, the spread, $350, $350,000, sorry. But we agreed that every team that has won there, every team that has progressed to the playoff round, every team that won that bilateral series, you know, should participate in the prize money.
Final question for me.
Has that information been relayed to the franchise representatives?
Good question.
And the management?
Yes.
Okay. Because I haven't heard them say anything about that. But you said it's been there. Okay, no problem.
Yeah, we just got another 2 or 3 minutes left on the show. I know that Ken Husband
two,
is...
2 minutes, please. You know, this 2 or 3. I can lock up you, boy.
Miles, what's happening to the Super 50 2024? You know, there was a big problem there with Barbados and Jamaica. Has Cricket West Indies paid the money yet? Or are you in court?
I know that we have issued a press release on this matter.
How long ago was that?
Clarified our position. That was very soon after the event. Our position has not changed.
But according to the lawyer, you're supposed to. I think it was about a month ago that you had to, if I could maybe just pick it up quickly, but you're saying your position hasn't changed. So as far as you're concerned, you know, no money's going to be paid then, basically. Is that what you're saying, that Miles?
That is our position.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wow. Are you aware of that, Philo? The Cricket West is saying no money will be paid for 2024 Super.
That's what Cricket West is saying, but there's something called a law courts that might have a different view. Because as far as I know, the law courts rule that CWI should pay the players. So yeah. I don't know if CWI are law.
Yeah,
no law court rule that CWI should pay the players. I don't know where that information came from, but I can assure you that is not the case.
So what was the ruling of the court then?
No matter, CWI has not gone to court on this issue.
No judgment has been made.
CWI has not gone to court on this issue.
All right. Okay, Miles, I wish you all the very best. I hope you continue to use your data-driven analysis to drive all cricket, wherever you're driving it.
Mm.
And I wish you success to you and your talent scout, so you continue to hide.
Mm-hmm.
But I wish them all the very best for our cricket, because our cricket is at the crossroads.
I
agree with Mr. Nurse.
Mm.
People are not going to put money behind a dead brother.
Yeah.
Until CWA wake up and get reality in their bosoms, we're going to continue to fight. And I don't like fighting. I want to see Cricket West just rise up and try to dominate world cricket again. But you have to do what is right.
Ezra, of course, we're going to have to invite you back on Mason and Guest. You were supposed to come very early, but I know that you got so many things to do there in St. Philip. You joined us late, but it's an absolute pleasure to have you on, Mason and Guest. Happy retirement to you. And I can promise you that we're going to be having you back on Mason and Guest pretty, pretty soon. Ezra Michael Stewart.
Yeah, good night. That would be a pleasure to be here. I've not been on this program for a couple of years now. So, you know, now I have some time.
All right. Thanks very much indeed. Thanks to our good friend Miles Bascom. Good to have you on Mason and Guest. Always a pleasure to have you. Thanks to you, Basil Butcher. You always punch Miles. Thanks to Philo Wallace, who says, look, you may not be paying any money, but I know they're going to have you in court. We can have a good, good time there. And I want to get some lenses from that, because I understand Barbados has a very good case. Amanda Mason is hoping for a better tomorrow. It's good night.
Looking to refresh your trawl finish? Well, look no further. Berger Brushing Solution is exactly what you need. This low-odor, fast-drying paint solution is a great way to renew and repaint in any color on interior and exterior textured surfaces. Available in coral stone and any shade from the color library. Visit the nearest color shop or hardware store to express yourself through color. Berger Paints, for lasting beauty and protection.